Well, let's pray the chapel. Let's pray for peace in the world. All right, let's do that. I want to pray for Evan, who was just with me. I want to pray for the world, but we are in a really interesting time, aren't we? I mean, your future, but really your children's future, they're going to live in a totally different reality than you and I. I mean, they really are. And your children's children, everything from robotics to surgery to law to space to war to chemistry to art. You know, you think about what AI is going to do. Some of the brightest minds in the country on this, and we'll talk about this coming up a little bit later in the final hour of the broadcast with Dr. Eugene Gahn. They say it's almost a black box, and they're not quite sure exactly how all this works. God has given us an intellect. He's given us ability to create. And let's just pray that man uses it in a proper context, and this is all for good. Things could get really crazy. I want to pray for you, too. I know you have needs. I mean, life is a struggle. It's filled with trials, isn't it? Difficulties, challenges. It's hard. Sometimes they're moral challenges. Sometimes they're physical. Sometimes they're financial. Sometimes they're emotional. Let's ask God to show his mercy on us all today, okay? On those we love especially. I got an email from somebody who said to me, I feel I need to weigh in, but I can't bring myself to call. My youngest brother took his life, he says, in 2008. He says, our parents are, although elderly, were alive. Then were the reason my whole immediate family was able to keep going. As a substance in creation, it is a use and an abuse, speaking in moral terms. Abuse is, he's talking about drugs, is the only thing, not just heroin, for many, many years ultimately caused my dear brother's break with sanity. Could you please pray for all those with addiction? Could you please pray for all those who are having suicidal thoughts? I will. We'll do that right now. I want to lift up all these intentions that are coming in, especially anyone who's really suffering with depression or maybe even anxiety at this moment or doesn't feel that life is worth living. And we just want to pray that God will fill their days with hope and light and joy. Let them know they're created for a purpose and a meaning. Maggie, it's good to have you with me today. Anything you want to pray for today before we start our chaplet?
You know, I saw the loop, the Catholic vote loop this morning, and they were mentioning SatanCon in Boston is next week.
Sold out.
Yep. And I just want to pray for the conversion of anyone involved in that. I saw that the Catholic diocese in that area has decided to, I guess, put on like a vigil with the Blessed Sacrament in the area, praying for these people. So I want to pray that those prayers are amplified to the throne of heaven. I want these people to be converted.
Yeah, we had to pray for that big time, and we spoke about the film Nefarious. The Exorcist is now out. When SatanCon sells out, and it's in your community, and I would really, I was in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, which is on the other side of the state from where Boston is. There is a real need for God's mercy in that area there. And I know there were some exorcists I was talking to and some bishops. We really need to pray for those, because when you conjure evil, when you glorify Satan, when you open that door, I'm telling you what, demons follow. And I think there'll be a lot of hardship and suffering for a lot of people in that area. So let's pray that St. Michael intervenes and protects not just those people there, but all throughout the country. I know there's a lot of covens in Minnesota, I've heard. There's in Salem, a lot of witches, witchcraft is on the rise in the country. True story before we pray, and I'll pray for this girl because I've not prayed for her, and I should have. I was in Stockbridge. I was there for the funeral of Father Seraphim Michalenko. And a buddy of mine, he's a former NBC producer, we were having breakfast. And girl waiting the table on us, attractive young lady, you know, and she leaned over to pour the coffee or whatever, and a big tattoo showed up on her arm, and it had a date. And he says, oh, you know, what's that date signify? She goes, oh, the Salem witch trials. And he goes, really? And he goes, are you a witch? And she goes, yes, I am. And it kind of sent a chill up his spine. And he goes, well, you don't look like one. And she goes, that's the purpose. Yeah, so she, I mean, it's like a normal-looking, beautiful girl serving, but got sucked into witchcraft and even has this tattooed on her. Who knows what level of depth she is? Could she be a witch, a Satanist? I don't know, but you never know. We need to pray for those who make this mistake, who down this path, who've opened themselves up to demonic forces, and really ask God, because I see Satan very active today in the culture and being more aggressive than he has ever been. And let's just ask for divine protection. I'm going to ask that. We claim the protection of the blood of the Lamb over all who are praying with us today, and we'll take those we love to the foot of the cross where Christ conquered evil and threw open the gates of heaven for us. We are on the winning side, right? Amen to that. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. And if you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. I know lines have already filled up. If you didn't get through on the phones, maybe getting a busy signal, Maggie will take your prayer intentions. Just go to Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show, and you can put your intention there. Maggie will share it on the air. I think you might even be able to go to relevantradio.com and go to the Drew Mariani Show. And I think Twitter's there. I think you can post there. I don't know. You can check that out. You can always follow us on all of our platforms, Facebook and Twitter. Follow me at Drew Mariani as well, and we'll be sure to pray for you. Send me your answered prayers too, and I'm grateful for all those that are coming in. That's our email, drew@relevantradio.com. Send all answered prayers there. And Maggie, it was great praying the chapel with you the rosary with you last night.
Although
I went into chaplet mode.
That's okay.
I'm so used to praying this prayer on the air.
I think it probably made people laugh, which is
great.
A good thing.
It was fun. Well, let's pray right now. We'll take our first call. Susan. Sue is listening in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Hi, Sue. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a prayer intention for my husband, who has stage 4 liver disease.
Oh,
and I just pray that the Lord watches over him and brings him happiness and gives me the ability to do my best for him.
Yeah, you're a wonderful wife. I'm sure he's blessed to have you. Let's put him in the hands of the Lord right now, okay? We will ask for healing. We'll ask for that right now. Lord, I don't limit you. You can heal this liver cancer in a second, in a heartbeat, in a nanosecond. I give you Sue that she may be the wife that she is praying she can be and take care of her loving husband. And I just give to you those with cancer, this terrible, wretched disease that causes so much suffering, the shedding of so many tears. And Lord, I ask for your mercy today that when people come back, the doctors are amazed at the scans, at the test results, the blood work, that the tumors have shrunk, that the cancer has disappeared. And I thank you for the way you are going to work. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son. our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Dawn, praying with us in Fairfax, Virginia. Good to have you with us today. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. God bless you.
Thank you.
I first want to thank God in advance for hearing all of these prayers and for all the small and big miracles seen and unseen. I want to pray for the Lobano family. John Lobano has entered hospice, very young, big family with a brain tumor. And I've got a whole group of friends that have entire families, young children that have cancer. So for them, I also want to pray for healing for Joe. He's a teenager with severe anorexia. I've been praying for a long time for his family, for him, for healing, and for everybody with eating disorders and addictions. And lastly, for my parents, last year I was able to get in to call for my mom who was having brain surgery, and that surgery went well. It was wonderful. Unfortunately, she has to have a full shoulder replacement surgery. She's just, poor thing, has been through a lot, and my dad has some surgery for skin cancer scheduled for Monday. I want to say thank you, Jesus, for all of the miracles and healing for our family. And if you would please, for healing for them, and in gratitude for my amazing parents, who I wouldn't have my strong Catholic faith without them. And they've been married for 50 years.
Oh, beautiful prayers. What a wonderful marriage. What a wonderful daughter you are. Well, Dawn, let's pray for all of these intentions. And again, today, Lord, I'm asking for cancer. I'm asking for many healings and many cures. And just pray for Dawn's mother and father and all those intentions she voiced. I unite her prayers, so beautiful and humble, with those now praying with me. We beg you to hear us and in your mercy answer us as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Tino in Austin, Texas, let me go to Maggie here with me in studio. Maggie, what can we pray for?
We received a heartbreaking email this morning, Drew. We have an urgent prayer request from some really special friends of Relevant Radio. Their grandson, Matthew, is responsible for a deadly crime of passion after finding out that his wife was unfaithful.
Wow.
We want to pray for his whole family, the victim's family, and for the Lord to have mercy on Matthew as he faces consequences now. It's just heartbreaking. It was quite the story to read.
I read that, and yeah. I know he's facing, are we allowed to talk about it? Murder trial, murder charges right now?
I think so. Yeah. Well, let's keep it.
Yeah, I won't give too many details. Yeah. It's rough.
It is rough. It is rough. Cheryl from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, asks that we pray for her daughter, Sheila, who lost her job yesterday. She's a single mom and is living paycheck to paycheck. God. She's devastated and has been looking for a better job for quite some time, knowing that she would probably be let go soon. She says, we've been praying for her, and we've been praying for months. We need your prayers during the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We will be praying with you. Thank you so much. I want to lift up one of our Twitter users who sends us a tweet almost every day. Her name's Onitha Hampton. Onitha, I just want you to know that I do see your tweets, and we pray for all of your needs. Jean wrote to us and said, please pray for my grandson. He's traveling in India right now and won't respond to our texts.
Oh, no.
We want to help him, but we can't, you know, we can't get contact with him. Please, God, if he would read these texts and reach out to us, that would be great. Julie wrote to us and said, can you please pray for my friend David? He's applying for a job driving truck for a local company, and he really needs this. Mm. He's a widower and is new to the chaplet. Please pray for him and his wife, Julie. And Dominique wrote to us. I just loved this simple prayer. She says, hi, Drew and Maggie. I'm asking prayers for my husband, JJ, and all the linemen helping to restore power in San Antonio, Texas, after last night's storms. I've seen these guys out after tornadoes, after storms. They work their butts off.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Well, so many intentions and so heavy, especially some of the first ones you voiced. I want to pray for Onitha. Onitha, thank you for writing to us too. And look, we see every email that comes in here. We really do. I do. I read every email that comes in. Because of the volume, we don't always have a chance to respond to you. And Maggie's always on the Twitter as well, on our Twitter, and reading those as well. We try to bring as much to air as we can, but we're family. And every day you're in my personal prayers, my deepest prayers. And I know that hoping you're praying for me and you're praying for all these intentions you hear. I hope we're praying for one another. That's what makes this time so powerful, so beautiful. The power of this united prayer for one another. So even when we're done praying, later when you spend time with God, you pray your rosary, you go to Mass, adoration, pray another chaplet, please remember our Divine Mercy family. Tino in Austin, Texas. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey, Tino. I'm well today. Thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm calling for my wife who's had an infection in her left foot since Monday, and she's on the mend, but she's still concerned.
Okay.
And I'd like to pray for blessings for Maggie and Joe, who are just a few days away from Mary.
Oh, Tino, and God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And also for you, Drew, and also for
Patrick. Yeah. Tina, thank you for calling. I want to pray for your wife and how much you love her. We're going to pray for complete and total recovery of her foot. Correct me, Tina, if I'm wrong, though, before we pray for her. You called about a month ago. I remember your voice. Was there an intention? You were praying for a church or fundraising for your church. I don't remember all the details. What's going on with that church building?
I believe our priest told me that he knows nothing yet, but if he knows, he would let us know, and I will call in.
All right, well, good. We'll pray for it. Keep the faith, right? Let's keep praying. Lord, I give you Tino. I give you his wife. I give you those that are in capital campaigns. I give you all these different intentions. I pray for Maggie and for Joe. She's about 2 weeks or so away from becoming Mrs. Carroza, changing her last name. And I give you my heart, and I just pray on behalf of everyone here who's joining us. Lord, be merciful today. Be merciful as you always are. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Anna's praying in Tampa, Florida. Hi, Anna. Good afternoon. Anna, you with me? All right, I'm going to put you back in queue. We'll go to Andrew, who's in Champion, Wisconsin. All right. Hey, Andrew, good afternoon.
Hi, I'm just looking for a special birthday blessings for my 13-year-old daughter, Courtney. And then just a Thanksgiving for the great zeal that my immediate family has for the faith, and that God may bless us.
Beautiful. What a beautiful prayer. We'll bring that beautiful little girl there to that shrine in your neighborhood, that right, Our Lady of Champion now. We just changed the name from Our Lady of Good Help. We'll pray for her, 13 years old. Maggie, you know what that's like, right? To become a teenage girl. She's got some interesting years ahead of her. Right? I can't speak to it. I'm a guy.
That was like the heart of my awkward years. But I don't know. Kids these days don't really have awkward years, it seems like.
And as a parent, I can share Andrew's heart praying. I have two daughters. Let's just pray protection over them and for blessings that God will put in their heart, the seeds of the faith. And we'll pray for the great mission that God has for your 13-year-old daughter. Happy birthday to her today. And Lord, I just pray that the faith be deepened and fostered in all of us, especially our loved ones and especially those away from the faith. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Take a few extra calls in this last decade. I know so often people wait to get on. We'll start first in Needville, Texas. Joanna is joining us there. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, blessings to all of you at Relevant Radio.
Thanks.
I've gotten an ulcer. I've worried about my brother who has to probably have brain surgery, and so I'm asking for prayers for that. But this weekend, after every Mass, I have the courage to get up in front of everybody, and I'm asking them all to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Wow. Great.
And I'm really nervous about it, and so I just need some prayers to give me a little bit more courage to get through it. So anyway, I hope it works so that we can start changing this country around.
Well, God bless you, Joanne. I'm so happy for you. The soul that says the chaplet will be embraced by mercy during their lifetime, especially at the hour of their death. Let everybody know that and know how God is going to bless you. He promised special protection to those who promote his mercy, and you are doing just that, and I'll tell you, a lot of grace is going to come from it. I am so happy to hear that you're doing that. So I'm going to lift you up, that God gives you eloquence and confidence, and that his mercy is just tangible, palpable that day as you pray, and for transformation in not just your parish, but the world. Bailey is in West Columbia, Texas. He's joining us now, too. She's joining us right now. Hi, Bailey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Awesome. So my intention is to just pray for, we just found out I'm pregnant with our third baby, so to pray for the pregnancy and the birth. Yeah. And also, we've been looking for a bigger house for the past 2.5 years, and we have not been able to find one despite many prayers and, you know, actively looking. So just praying that we can find a bigger home, hopefully, you know, before the third child's here.
Well, first of all, congratulations on that gift of a third child. I just get the sense that God has the perfect house for you. And if he said, hang on, not yet, I know you're praying, he's got the perfect house in store for you. And Maggie was saying to me, tell her to pray to St. Joseph. I think it's a great prayer. I'm sure you probably have. I know you probably said a litany of prayers. So we're going to pray for you now. You get your spiritual family here. And one day I'm going to write a book on Providence. I got to share stories of how God has given me just the perfect places to live at times in miraculous ways. And put your trust in God, Bailey. I'm telling you what, you'll be surprised at how the Providence comes, the mortgage comes, the proper house comes. God's in control of all of these things. And we'll pray for you right now too. We'll add you to our mix. Let me take Gene right now in San Diego as well. Gene, good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you, Drew. I have a cousin, Gary, who's retired Rochester, New York firefighter. He's in hospice for COPD right now. He's in his last days. down in Tampa, and so we need to pray for him. I also have a daughter, Molly, who's going to be 30 tomorrow, and she needs our prayers to fight that spiritual fight that all those 30-year-olds are fighting, it seems. And then we have a cousin whose workmate is dying of ALS. So those three, please, Drew, we need help with those.
You got it, Gene. I'm delighted to join you in prayer. And, you know, you brought to mind how critical this prayer is in particular for the dying. St. Faustina wrote in her diary, she shared a story where the Lord came to her and he says, my daughter, help me to save a certain dying sinner. And we don't know where these souls are at that final moment. He says, say the chaplet, I've taught you to pray. And when she began to pray the chaplet, she was given a vision, or she bilocated to a man in the midst of a terrible struggle. He was in agony. He was in torment. And she saw his guardian angel. His guardian angel was defending him. But he was, as it were, he was powerless just against the enormity of the soul's misery. And she saw a multitude of devils. They were waiting for his soul. Apparently, he was a man who did not live a life according to God's plan. And they were waiting. They were going to take him, drag him to hell. But Faustina began to pray the chaplet. And then she saw Jesus depicted in the image with the rays which issued from his heart. And those rays enveloped this sick man. And the powers of darkness panicked. And they had to flee. And the sick man then took a deep breath, peacefully breathed his last. And when she came back to herself, back there in herself, she understood how important the chaplet was for the dying, how it appeases the anger of God. And we may have loved ones who are very holy, and that's great. The Lord promised he would, you know, come as a merciful Savior, not as a just judge. Let's remember to pray this. Whenever you hear somebody dying, somebody we don't know what their walk with God is. Can't judge a soul from the exterior. But I really want to pray right now for those who are taking their final breaths, those who are in hospice, those who will die expectedly and unexpectedly. And I want to pray for you in the hour of your death and my own hour. So let's pray right now. We'll lift up all these intentions as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mikalenko,
pray for us.
And Saint Maria Goretti,
pray for us.
I'll share with you something I just heard during the chaplet. If it is true, it's pretty amazing. I'll tell you when I return. Stay with me. This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thank you for being with me. It's great to hang out with you. It's really good to pray with you, though. I just love that prayer. I cannot tell you how my spirit rejoices when we pray that together. There's a power in it. As God continues to hear your cries and your prayers, as his mercy continues to flow, do me a favor. When the doctor report comes back, when the house is, you know, manifested in your life, when the finances are reversed, when that future spouse comes into your life, send me an email. Drew@relevantradio.com. That's all. Drew, first name, @relevantradio.com. Mark it answered prayer or praise report or whatever you want. Make sure you put a little tag in the memo field so I see that, because we get a lot of emails. Just tell me how it works, and I'd love to share that. We've got what we call a wall of mercy here, because so many reports have come in. There are books, multiple books of answered prayers. That's how powerful that prayer is. So, so great to pray with you. Coming up, Dr. Paul Kengor in a quick second. But let me share with you very quickly what a caller just shared with our call screener during the break. I have not confirmed this. We're going to look into it for you. And what a great story of mercy the story of St. Maria Goretti is. You know her murderer, right? Alessandro Serinelli, who tried to rape her, and ultimately stabbed her to death. And as she was bleeding on her way to the hospital, her life draining from her body on this bumpy back of this cart of these rugged roads, she forgave this man. And ultimately, he was imprisoned. She died, of course. He appeared to her at a prison cell. Actually, go ahead, Matt. You want to open your mic? Go ahead.
She appeared to him.
That's what I meant to say. He did.
Yeah.
She appeared to him in his prison cell where he was doing time. He had a radical conversion and was actually next to her mother at the canonization of St. Maria Goretti. Well, the word right now that we're being given, I have not confirmed this, is that his cause, which has, you know, people are saying, oh, his cause should be open. The word that the caller came in, Maggie, I'm hearing this right, is that his cause is now moving forward?
A caller talked with Patrick just as the chaplet was beginning and said, just so you know, the case has been opened for canonization for Alessandro. And from what I'm reading here, it looks like before his death in 1970, Alessandro wrote a spiritual testament where he expressed his contrition, explaining how he had been consumed by lust and pornographic materials, which were supplied by his own father, the Goretti family landlord and employer. This is an excerpt from this. He says, I'm almost 80 years old and near the end of my days. Looking back on my past, I recognized in my early youth, I went down a false path, the way of evil, which led me to ruin. I saw the world through the news, entertainment, and bad examples that most young people follow without giving them a second thought. I didn't think about it either.
Wow.
Doesn't that speak to what we see constantly in our society today? It says that he embraced the example of St. Maria Goretti and later wrote, now with serenity, I await the moment of being admitted to the vision of God, embracing my loved ones again, and being near my protecting angel, Maria, and her dear mother, Assunta. Wow, like, just amazing.
Choking you up. Power of conversion and God's mercy. Really, I mean, just, what an amazing story. You know, I'll share more about that next week when we have time. I want to get to Dr. Paul Kengor, but look for that story. And it's a story that needs to be told over and over again. The greater the sinner, St. Faustina writes in her diary, the greater the right they have to God's mercy. So don't think that you are unforgivable, because you're not. You know, and if you're a Catholic, I encourage you to get back to the confessional and meet God in the sacrament of mercy there. He says in Faustina's diary, he's only hidden by the priest. So a lot to talk about, that's for sure. Let me just change gears, if I could, for a moment. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Acts of the Apostles, which we're making our way through. And you're like, why are you talking about that? Because some people sometimes say, hey, it kind of smacks of communism a little bit, doesn't it? I remember earlier in the week, people sold their homes or possessions. They laid them at the feet of the apostles to be distributed evenly. On Sunday, during most of the church year, the first reading is always the Old Testament. But during Easter, it's different, right? It's I think it's that way for about 2 months. You're going to hear the Acts of the Apostles, which is a great book, right? Who doesn't like reading about the Acts? It's wonderful. So the first reading during the Mass is always from the same book. What are the unfortunate consequences of that is that a lot of people, we're going to hear how the early church, and I hear people say, oh, it sounds like communism. The passage I'm talking about, it's where Peter gives a sermon, 3,000 people become Christians, and it says this, I'll quote it, it says, "And all who believed were together, and they had things in common. They sold their goods and possessions and distributed them as any had." And later in chapter 4, St. Luke writes, "Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said anything which he possessed was his own, but had everything in common. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds, and what was sold was laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed, and the distribution was made to each as any had need." How do you interpret that? What's that all about? Those two passages show that there was, I guess, a common life in the early church, right? There was community. They supported one another. There's some scholars who say that they might have been imitating what the Essenes, the community that gave us the Dead Sea Scrolls, were all about. But some modern-day scholars are trying to tie those passages to the idea of Karl Marx and his ideologies. In fact, those passages were the basis for Marx's very famous, "From each according to his ability to each according to his need." Dr. Paul Kengor has written about this, and I invited him on to give us some clarity on it. He's, of course, a wonderful author of many books and a professor of political science at Grove City College, and you can check him out at the Spectator. Spectator.org, I think, is a website to see some more of his writings. He joins us right now. Hey, Doctor, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Drew. Good to be back.
First of all, thank you for writing this article. Perfect at this time of year. When I saw it, I thought we got to talk about it. It really is.
Right, right.
The early church seemed to have something like that going on, where everybody shared the possessions, and people say, hey, this is like communism. There is a basic difference, right? The church was living a voluntary way of life. Communism is very different. It imposes. I'm going to take what you have and give it to somebody else. But take me through this, because it is kind of a, as you hear these passages of Mass, you're thinking, wow, how did that jive? So give me your take on it.
Well, I'll tell you, Drew, I hear it all the time. In fact, I'm going to be speaking on the Catholic Church and communism and socialism tomorrow to a group of college students, and I'll get asked about this. In fact, last month, I spoke to a group of Catholic college students at a really good, strong, Orthodox, faithful Catholic college. I guess I won't say the name of it here right now, because a couple of the students, you know, asked me. They said, they tried to put me on the spot, I think, and said, "Well, wasn't that socialism?" And I said, "No, it's not. It's not socialism." And I don't get angry when I get the question, because I hear it all the time. And by the way, just up front, let me quote Pope Francis. Okay, it was his Divine Mercy Sunday Mass in 2021 at St. Peter's Square, where he read from Acts 4:32, and that's the line, right? "No one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common." Pope Francis said, quote, "This is not communism. It is pure Christianity," unquote. So even Pope Francis gets this, right? You know, Pope Francis has been accused of being soft on socialism. I've heard people say, "The Pope's a Marxist. He's a socialist," right? And I'll say, well, you know, economically, he probably leans left, but, you know, kind of for, you know, he favors some forms of redistribution and collectivism. But, you know, he's not a Marxist. He said, you know, the Marxist ideology is wrong. And Francis gets it. And if you read this, first of all, what people really got to do is read the Communist Manifesto. You know, read writings by communists, Marx and Engels and Lenin. And I mean, they talk about abolition not only of property, all property, but the family, all religion, all morality, states, all capital, all of society, right? All traditional relations. My favorite line from Marx and Engels in the Manifesto, communism calls for the abolition of the present state of things, right? I mean, it is the most radical, revolutionary, and militantly atheistic and anti-God ideology ever conceived. And just because Karl Marx, you know, the devil doth quote the scripture, right? Just because Marx comes through and says, I see what I can do here, right? You know, I could pull this from Acts, from each according to his ability, each according to his needs. And you get liberal religious left Christians who come forward, you know, Sister Social Justice, and say, "Oh, well, I see the early church favored communism." No, not that is not communism at all. And if you read further on into Acts 4:32 and 4:37, you'll see that these disciples, Ananias, Barnabas, they owned property, Drew. They had property. In fact, the subhead usually says the apostles shared their possessions. They were permitted possessions. Communist Manifesto says the entire communist theory may be summed up in a single sentence, abolition of private property. And by the way, that's private property by a state that forces that at the tip of the bayonet upon 100% of the entire population, whether they want it or not. Here you have groups of religious people, Christians, getting together and deciding voluntarily, guided by God, guided by the principles of Christianity, to sell some of their possessions, to share some of their stuff. And Barnabas and Ananias even says, I mean, read closely the scripture. It says they sold a property, sold a piece of property and shared it. They didn't sell everything. If they wanted to, they could have. It would have been their voluntary, benevolent, free choice. But, all of that, the apostles, the Franciscans, man, that ain't communism. Maybe call it communalism, whatever you want to call it, but it is not Marxism-Leninism.
Yeah. My guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor. Doctor, you know how this works. I have to take just a very short pause right now. When we come back, we can talk much more. If you want to get in, I only have the doctor maybe 10 or 15 more minutes, so I will open the phones on the other side. Feel free to sound off. Maybe you're from Cuba. Maybe you've seen this ideology. I'd love to hear what it's like to have lived under Marxist or communist rule and how different it really is. Maybe you can share some of that. But we'll take your questions and your comments as well as we continue to take a, well, shine the light of clarity on some scripture. All right? The number, 888-914-9149. Call now.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, about 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Good afternoon. It's great to be back with you. I'm speaking this afternoon with Dr. Paul Kengor. You want a good read? Check out The Devil and Bella Dodd. I think he wrote a book called The Devil and Karl Marx as well. And, of course, you can check out The American Spectator. Does a lot of writing there. And that website is spectator.org. His latest article, and we have just posted it up as well, the Book of Acts does not support communism, you'll find on our Twitter page. It's at Drew Mariani Show. All right? And a lot to talk about with Dr. Kengor. Doctor, it's good to have you back. Let's grab a call or two, too. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. We'll go to Atlanta, Georgia first. Christina's been waiting to join the conversation. Hi, Christina.
Hey, Drew. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
So I just wanted to bring up something that I've seen in Atlanta. I know that there are a lot of anti-Semitism right now in Atlanta. And I live out actually about 30 miles outside of Atlanta. And even back here, we're getting like these little bags with notes in them that are saying that communism is coming from Judaism. And so I just wanted to see if anybody had any comments about that. Maybe we're seeing that other places in the country, because I know it's a really big problem right now in Atlanta.
I'm fascinated to hear that. Yeah. Doctor, what's your take on the rise of anti-Semitism, too? We had a conversation about that last week, I think.
Yeah, so I haven't seen the same thing that she's talking about, although I've had heard in the past a lot of people blame communism on Jews, right? Link it to Jewish people, secular Jews. And Karl Marx was Jewish, for example. And that's been a very common anti-Semitic thing that's gone on. And I usually try to tell people who engage in that, hey, look, Karl Marx said, quote, the Israelite faith is repulsive to me. Marx was very anti-Semitic. Marx was ethnically Jewish, but he was very anti-Semitic. And, some of the very best anti-communists ever were Jewish. And in fact, my book, Dupes, I dedicated it to my close friend Herb Romerstein, who was Jewish and really a mentor to me on a lot of the issues dealing with communism. So yeah, that's it's unfortunate that that's out there, but yeah, that charge has been around for a long time.
You know, we're talking about the early church and the what looks like, you know, early communism. You're pointing out it's not. Christina's talking about the rise of anti-Semitism in her own area, communism coming from Judaism. What is it about communism or this Marxist ideology that seems so attractive today, people wanting to go in that direction? Anyone who's lived under those failed ideologies know how horrible it is, and they just don't work. What is it about this that seems to be taking root today? Are you seeing that as, you know, within our leadership and within the country itself?
Yeah, it's ignorance. It's people who aren't aware of what communism really is, which is one of the reasons that I teach this stuff. In fact, at another talk recently at a Catholic college, I had a young lady who came up and asked me after. She said that she had done a paper at one point comparing the Benedictines and the Benedictine order to as a type of communism. And she asked one of the heads of the order about this, and the Benedictine head said, "Well, yeah, we're communists, right?" Yeah, and she said, "How do you answer that, Professor Kengor?" And I said, "No, he's wrong. He does. I know he might have told you that, but he clearly doesn't understand what communism is. Yeah. What he's probably meaning to say is that we engage in a form of communalism, right? Yeah. You know, we in our religious order we share things. But if they were doing communism, first of all, they'd all be atheists." Right. I've heard people say too that, well, you know, communism doesn't work in society, but it works in the family. You know, families are like little communist units. No, they're not. And by the way, you couldn't have communism and pure communism in a family structure because the Communist Manifesto says, quote, abolition of the family, exclamation mark, even the most radical flare up at this infamous proposal of a communist, unquote. So if people would just actually read it, read these books about communism, but in polls, Drew, and I've seen this, they'll ask young people, well, okay, you said you approve of communism. Well, how do you define communism? And they'll say, well, it's about people sharing, right? It's about people being kind to one another. You know, and that is super, super, super simplistic, but we're in this kind of Twitter culture where people have, you know, kind of a one or two sentence understanding of things. And one of the reasons I wrote this piece this week for Crisis Magazine is I know that every time this comes up in homilies, when we're reading the books of Acts, and I always get emails from people who say, you know, ugh, Professor Kengor, you won't believe this. My priest today in his homily was reading from Acts 4:32 to 4:37 and said that this was a form of socialism. And I say, well, what do you think of that? And I say, well, I'm not surprised. It probably happened in hundreds of parishes this past week. So, you know, writing for places like Crisis, doing shows like this on Relevant Radio, maybe we could help provide clarity to people and straighten them out so they don't say really, 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 really foolish things.
Yeah.
Like you know, their Church of Jesus Christ is in some way comparable to the Communist Manifesto. That's crazy.
Yeah, Marx and his followers, they just hate the idea of the church and religion of any kind, right? So why they latched onto those particular passages that you write about in your article? Just to manipulate and use them for their own gain?
Just simplistic ignorance. And Karl Marx called religion the opium of the people, the heart of a heartless world, the soul of soulless conditions. He said Christianity preaches submission, cowardice, you know, all these other insults. Lenin, I mean, it's often called Marxism-Leninism, said all worship of a divinity is a necrophilia. There is nothing more abominable than religion.
Wow.
Medieval mildew, he called it. Wow. Spiritual booze. The Communist Party, USA, Communist Party in the Soviet Union, said you cannot be a Christian and be a communist. And by the way, so did our church. Our church said that. Pope Pius XI, Quadragesimo Anno, even Pope John the 23rd said one cannot be at the same time a Catholic and call himself a socialist. So our church has been saying this since the encyclical Qui Pluribus in 1846, 2 years before the manifesto was even published. But people in our own pews don't know this stuff. They don't know this history. And they haven't even been taught it in Catholic schools and colleges. So we got a lot of remedial education to do here, Drew. Thankfully in shows like this, you're doing it.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're teaching it, Doctor. I am. Your book, did I get it right? It's The Devil and Karl Marx as well, right?
Right, that's right. That's yeah, the and then one. We, Mary Nicholas and I follow that up with The Devil and Bella Dodd,
yeah, that's
which
the latest, yeah.
In the case of Bella Dodd, she described her battle against communism as a battle against the devil. And, you know, unlike Marx, she pulled herself out of that pit, and through Bishop Fulton Sheen, and I think one of the most touching conversion stories of the 20th century, she pulled herself from the clutches of diabolical atheist to communism and became a very committed and courageous Roman Catholic.
Wow. It's the best way to get those books, Doc, just online, any place they're sold?
Yeah, TAN Books. They're both published by TAN Books. So go to the TAN website. And by the way, TAN just reissued Bishop Fulton Sheen's Communism and the Conscience of the West.
Wow.
A 1948 book, which I strongly recommend as well. So get informed, folks, right? Yeah. And you know, stop the spread of this kind of terrible misinformation and misunderstanding.
Well, we got your articles posted right now, so they are up. People can check them out. Look forward to catching up with you soon, probably next week, I hope, okay, if you're around. We'll talk again.
All right, you got it, Drew. Take care.
Thank you. That's Dr. Paul Kangor. I am up against the window right now, up against the clock, as I like to say. We're going to talk AI when I return on the other side. Boy, this stuff is rapidly evolving. Stay with me. There's a lot of news just to bring you up to speed on. I'll be right back.